Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 197 of Wheat All About It, or what I'm calling the Wheat O'Clock Report, rides again. Longtime listeners know my alter ego, the sonorous, handsome-sounding anchorman who sifts through dozens of periodicals, newspapers, and online sources to bring faithful podcast listeners the latest information about our favorite crop and the issues affecting it. The World Wheat O'Clock Report isn't your typical 6 o'clock news, but it is how I imagine the media might cover wheat, if there wasn't enough of it. Before we get to the newscast, a couple of notes. First, my thanks to all those listening to Wheat All About It on their Android phones. Unlike iPhones, which have a dedicated iTunes app for podcasts, Android phone users have to download an app to their phone. Stitcher is popular, but listeners also use Overcast and Pocket Cast. Big news! Those accessing the podcast through their Android phones now nearly equal those using iPhones. Hooray! I think a lot of the reason for the increase is the result of placing the podcast apps on the Washington Grain Commission website at wagrains.org. You too can take advantage of the service. Just click on podcasts at the top of the WGC webpage, then scroll down to App Platforms. Clicking on one will take you to the site where you can subscribe to the show. By the way, if you haven't checked out the new Washington Grain Commission website, please do. I'd also like to thank all those who have followed or liked the Washington Grain Commission Facebook page. Doing so is yet another way to be alerted to the current week's podcast. I also always try to post a photo of the individuals I've interviewed there. Make sure you have followed the Washington Grain Commission Facebook page, as I see there are a few still following the long-abandoned Wheat All About It page. Finally, my faithful landlord listeners tell me the podcast is a wonderful way to stay connected to the land and the issues that confront their farmer tenants. So farmers, please encourage your landlords to subscribe to the podcast and the Grain Commission's Facebook page. Ensuring your partners are informed about the issues affecting wheat farming just makes sense. Enough said, now on to the news. Hello everyone, I'm Scott Yates with the World Wheat O'Clock Report. Here are today's headlines from the world of wheat. They don't make them like that anymore. Released in 1988, the wheat variety Matson was the most widely grown cultivar in the Northwest between 1991 and 2004. In 1994, it was grown on 41% of Washington's wheat acres. You might expect that 32 years after its release that the variety has outlived its usefulness. And it's true, Matson's heyday is in the rearview mirror. In 2019, 7,000 acres were planted to the variety. Its impact on the region's wheat industry, however, continues to reverberate. An article written by Washington State University winter wheat breeder Aaron Carter not only explored what made Matson special, he also investigated its progeny since introduction. The article in the Journal of Plant Registrations, a publication of the Crop Science Society of America, reported that Matson has been parent to more than 45 released cultivars, mainly because of its excellent disease-resistance genes, some of which the breeder, Bob Allen, wasn't aware of at the time of its release, but which were only discovered in later research. The breeding goal when the cross was made was to improve resistance to what was then called straw breaker foot rot, but which is now called eye spot foot rot. Matson was one of the first resistant varieties available in the Pacific Northwest. Named for Lewis L. Matson, Dean of the College of Agriculture, Human and Natural Resource Sciences at Washington State University from 1965 to 1973, the release not only proved an excellent variety on its own merits, but a superb parent as well. Too much of a good thing. Wheat prices ordinarily rise or fall based on world wheat ending stocks, and this year's low prices are the result of high ending stocks. China holds the majority of these stocks, but even taking them out of the equation, world ending stocks are anticipated at 25%. In other words, there is plenty of wheat in the world. In the U.S., soft white may be the tightest of the classes, and it's likely farmers looking for higher prices may store their crop. With nearly the entire crop reporting, this year's Pacific Northwest soft white crop came in with an average protein of 9.7%, average moisture of 9.1%, and an average 62-pound test weight. Falling numbers averaged 323 seconds. Club wheat samples had 10% protein, 8.4% moisture, and 61.7 pound test weight. Falling numbers stood at an average of 318 seconds. For hard red winter wheat, average protein stood at 11.6%, average moisture of 9.3%, and average test weight of 62.9 pounds. Falling numbers averaged 353 seconds. Hard red spring results show 14% protein, 9% moisture, 62.7 pound test weight, and a 369 average falling number. Pivoting toward the future. In basketball, pivot refers to the ability to keep one foot stationary while the other can move in any direction. In the time of COVID-19, pivot refers to how the Washington Grain Commission is honing a new approach to trade servicing now that face-to-face interactions with customers is cut off. Glenn Squire credits Joe Bippert, program director for the WGC, for helping lead the organization's video efforts, which include drone footage. Along with WGC Vice President Mary Palmer Sullivan, the pair have spent hours in the field interviewing WGC commissioners for reception overseas. A recent video, which can be seen at the WGC's website, wildgrains.org, click on News, features Gary Bailey thanking customers and explaining how combines operate while showing panoramic views of farms across eastern Washington during harvest. Squire said he has received positive reviews from overseas contacts about the videos. Additionally, he and other staff members have joined with other states and U.S. wheat associates in providing crop updates and supply-demand presentations during several webinars with customers in Asia, Latin America, and the Middle East. Quote, "There are certainly benefits to in-person visits and in-field discussion, but for now I couldn't be more pleased by the efforts of the WGC staff and U.S. wheat overseas offices that ensures the story of our region and our wheat continues to be told," end quote, he said. Novel traits equal novel patents. Arcadia Biosciences, a West Coast-based outfit, now has 22 patents for wheat varieties with novel traits. The two most recent extend the shelf life of whole wheat by more than 9 months. Ordinarily, whole wheat flour begins to oxidize immediately after milling and has an average shelf life of 10 to 30 days. The new wheat variety minimizes rancidity by reducing decomposition of fatty acids that can affect smell or flavor. Arcadia also has patents on a reduced gluten variety. That variety is said to have 65% less allergenic gluten, but with the same taste and performance as other wheat varieties. Drink your bread. Another approach to extending the life of bread products comes from Singapore, where researchers at the National University have developed a method to turn unsold sandwich bread into a creamy, slightly fizzy, and sweet drink. The bread is cut into small pieces and mixed with water, creating a bread slurry. At that point, it is pasteurized and probiotic bacteria and yeast are added. It can be stored at room temperature for up to 6 weeks while maintaining at least 1 billion probiotic cells per serving. Heart-healthy salmon lethal to sea lions. Sea lions will find their salmon snacking along a 180-mile Columbia River corridor more dangerous as states and native tribes are authorized to kill 540 California sea lions and 176 Steller sea lions over the next 5 years from Portland to McNary Dam, as well as in several tributaries. A permit request was heard and approved recently by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's regional administrator. This is the first time the Steller sea lion, which is much larger, has been a target for killing. The sea lions congregate at dams where the migrating fish bottleneck as they head up the river to spawn. Less lethal methods have been used in the past, including a fake motorized orca made of fiberglass, rubber bullets, traps, and explosives. Relocation was also tried, but sea lions that were moved hundreds of miles away would return within days. About 238 sea lions have been killed at the Bonneville Dam over the last 13 years under restrictions that, among other things, required sighting the animal 5 times in the area and observing it eating salmon. Automatic transmissions first, then robots. It takes several trades before today's new semi-trucks move into the agricultural market, but in the not-distant future, grinding gears will become a thing of the past even for grain haulers. Manual transmissions in the big rigs are disappearing, replaced by a computer that automates shifting gears. The newfangled transmission is coming in handy for an industry now desperate to find more drivers for whom working through 10 up to 18 gears would otherwise be a preventative, given that most have never even owned cars with a stick shift. 90% of Peterbilt trucks now come with automated transmissions, and about 85% of Freightliners. Manual transmissions were once said to be more fuel efficient, but the new transmissions, which differ from those found in pickups and cars, has improved significantly over the last decade. Some truck drivers, however, maintain manual is better, arguing that automatic transmissions let drivers relax, and when that happens, they might take a nap all over the road. Falling short of expectations. Products made from whole grain have been shown to be heart healthy and help control an array of chronic illnesses, including obesity. But most Americans have not taken the hint. In the Dietary Guidelines for America 2015 to 2020, the goal was for U.S. consumers to increase their total whole grain intake to at least half their diet. It currently stands at around 16% for those age 20 or more. The age category 60 plus had the highest whole grain use at nearly 20%. Heck no, we won't go. The average age of wheat farmers in eastern Washington is 58, which means there are a lot of farmers older than that. But working longer is not just an agricultural trend. Since 2008, the average labor force participation rate among 55 to 64-year-olds in developed countries has risen by 8%. A recent report from the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development said older workers are vital for prosperity in high-income economies. The average age within developed countries is now 40 and is expected to rise to 45 by 2050, when there will be 58 retired people for every 100 workers, up from 41 today. A British survey found that many people are happy to work longer, with fully a quarter of those queried saying they had retired too early and their lives had lost purpose. Lifestyle farming like yoga. Houston-based tractor maker Mahindra North America sees lifestyle farming as the fastest growing of all its markets, expanding 10% a year for the next decade. Among the reasons, active baby boomers entering retirement and getting back to the land. Also, more Americans are interested in growing their own food. Making a return on their investment is not necessary, as many of those interested in farming as a lifestyle have money to burn, farm. As one wealthy individual said about his farm, it's very relaxing, like meditation and yoga. It's peaceful, fulfilling, and it's a good thing to fade into. Adding that farming is for people who don't want to sit around and watch TV or have too much energy. Industry's 20 Minutes of Humanoid History. If the last 5 million years, approximately the time since our humanoid ancestors began walking on 2 feet, could be compressed into a single year, the Industrial Revolution wouldn't begin until December 31st at 11:40 p.m. The soybean of the future? Could feeding 9 billion people by 2050 include eating insects? Perhaps, but not directly. Raising insects on cheap inputs, then crushing them and using them as fish food is catching on. The humble flower beetle, specifically the larval stage, better known as mealworms, which can be found in contaminated flour, have been used as fish food for a long time. But now it's hoped to turn out tons of the larvae by industrializing the process of raising them. An outfit in Washington State called Betta Hatch is building a commercial mealworm farm inside an old juice factory. A robot-rich test facility now raising mealworms in France has 10,000 mealworm trays turning out 30 tons of protein a month. The French company recently announced it will build a new facility that will produce 1,500 tons of protein a month. A new insect now being investigated for the same purpose are black soldier fly larvae, which will feed on any decaying organic material. But while flower mealworms are vegetarian, fed on a diet including wheat bran, the diet of the black fly is a proprietary secret, although it was once known to include blood from slaughterhouses. Although the amount of feed produced by insects is trivial today, that leaves plenty of room for growth. Wile E. Coyote. Once mostly found west of the Mississippi in the United States, coyotes have spread east, settling in almost every urban area in the country. It's estimated that upwards of 4,000 coyotes live in Chicago. Why the increase? Demand for American furs has declined and trapping the animals is not as acceptable as before. Coyotes flourish in cities eating rats, rabbits, woodchucks, young Canadian geese, and fawns of white-tailed deer, as well as cats and small dogs. Just one human has been reported killed by a coyote in America in 1981 when a toddler was snatched from her garden in Los Angeles. Dogs, on the other hand, kill around 50 people a year and send thousands to hospital. Even deer kill more, causing traffic accidents that cause an estimated 200 fatalities annually. Chocolate chip cookies, the final frontier. As one of their research projects, astronauts on the International Space Station developed a chocolate chip cooking baking protocol that requires an oven heated to 325 degrees and a baking time of 130 minutes. Back on Earth, that baking time would be 16 to 18 minutes. The research was made possible by a partnership of DoubleTree and Hilton Hotels, where freshly baked chocolate chip cookies are a mainstay at afternoon check-ins. Learning how to bake the cookies in space is another way researchers are trying to make long-term space travel more hospitable. Yeah, but wait until 2020. Long before COVID-19 boosted home baking, the per capita flour consumption number for 2019 was calculated, coming in at a 30-year low, sustaining its steepest year-to-year drop since 2011. The 130.7 pounds per capita Americans ate of flour last year was down 2.1 pounds from 132.8 pounds in 2018. The 2019 figure was the smallest since 1989. In 1997, per capita consumption stood as high as 146.8 pounds. Flour consumption has been falling for a long time. In 1902, it was estimated at 224 pounds. In 1943, during World War II, it stood at 166 pounds. The Million Dollar Combine? Their names make them sound like fighter jets. The X9 1000 and X9 1100. Actually, they are the newest addition to John Deere's lineup of combines, and depending on accessories and attachments, may be the first to exceed $1 million to purchase. With a big capacity, the X9 1100 can harvest 30 acres of high-yielding wheat an hour or 7,200 bushels of corn an hour, and both can make automatic adjustments depending on conditions. The X9 1000 has a 420-bushel grain tank, and the 1100 holds up to 460 bushels. The machines are also said to be easy on fuel, running for 14 hours between fill-ups. That's all for this edition of the World Wheat O'Clock Report. Please tell your family, friends, neighbors, landlords about this newscast to help them catch up on the important news that's happening in the world of wheat. Until next time, I'm Scott Yates. And I'm back. That is the Scott Yates, who is the Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, alter ego of the dashing World Wheat O'Clock Report news anchor. I hope you enjoyed episode 197, the recurring feature called the World Wheat O'Clock Report. Please join me here next time for another episode of Wheat All About It!